You would this morning, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I've titled my message this morning, Grow Up. And as you're turning there, I'll share a little funny with you. I came across an article a while back that listed some really funny tweets on Twitter from moms and dads that kind of summed up parenting. Parenting is 80% making empty threats and 20% picking up miniature toys. Parenting is basically just listening to your self-talk because no one else is. Parenting is like an exercise in crisis management. I think it's a lot of times more like the whole FEMA fiasco where it just doesn't go right. Parenting is 90% trying to keep your kids away from your smartphone. Around our house, it's not so much the smartphones, it's the charging cables. The kids always want to borrow the charging cables, and then they never work right after they're done. And I think this one here is me on just about every Sunday morning. Parenting is just 90% walking around yelling, "Where are your shoes? We're late already. Find your shoes!" Parenting is a conglomeration of all the things I never learned. There's no manual, there's no handbook for parenting. 88% of parenting is saying it's bedtime 150 times between 8 and 9 p.m. every night. 80% of parenting is yelling through a closed bathroom door. And the last one, 90% of parenting is waiting for the other parent to do something about it. Thank you, babe, for always doing something about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many of you are there? All right. We're going to look at, start in verse number 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And key in on this 11th verse. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning and ask for the Lord's help. Father, we come to you this morning eager for your word and eager for your presence and excited about what you've done in our midst already and what you're going to teach us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, that you would help me, God. Lord, and you know that in myself I'm inadequate and incapable, but God, through your anointing and through your presence, Lord, I believe that we can have your word opened up to us this morning and we can learn of you. And God, I pray that you would just enable me and enlighten me and fill my mouth with the words that you would have me to speak this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be exalted in everything that is said and done in this place. And we ask you to teach us over this next little while. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I've had this sermon idea for a couple of weeks. Dad asked me a few weeks ago if I would be willing to speak, and I kind of immediately knew what I wanted to talk about, that keying on that 11th verse of that 13th chapter of Corinthians. When I was a child, I thought and acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So when I sat down to study this sermon, I couldn't quite recall where that scripture was located. And little pro tip for you, if you ever have a scripture that you can't quite recall where it's at, just go to Google and type in the part of the scripture you know, and it'll bring up search results and tell you exactly where it's found. So when I did that, and I found that this scripture, this 11th verse, was located kind of at the end of Paul's exhortation regarding love, it puzzled me a little bit. What does love have to do with putting away childish things? But the more I studied it, the more I dug in, the more I found that this really wasn't an oddly placed verse at all. This was actually really appropriate. And how it ties in with the rest of this chapter. So before we dive in, I want to give you a little historical context on the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul founded the church in Corinth. It was a church that he had piloted, he had started, and then he put it in the hands of some capable men, and he left and went to Ephesus. And he spent about 3 years in Ephesus. And while he was there, he got word of some of the things that were going on in this church in Corinth. And the things included some pagan practices that were still kind of had a foothold because these people were, you know, they were Gentiles largely, and they had, come from pagan roots. And so some of the pagan practices still had a foothold within the church. There was sexual immorality going on within the church. There was a man who was sleeping with his, believe it was his mother-in-law. And the church was very proud of themselves for loving and accepting this individual in spite of his sin. And Paul's saying, no. Don't condone that because that's wrong. This was a corrective letter that Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. They were abusing spiritual gifts and the gifts that God had given them by the Holy Spirit. They were abusing these gifts. And so Paul writes this 13th chapter, or this book of 1 Corinthians, to the church in Corinth to correct them and to give them instruction and guidance and reproof regarding some of the things that they were doing that were wrong. So chapter 12 of this book is where Paul addresses the abuse of spiritual gifts. And at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, you know, he goes through this chapter and says that, you know, that not everybody can be a head and not everybody can be a hand, but that everybody is a member of the body of Christ and that we all have a place and we all have a part and everybody has different spiritual gifts and not everybody can do everything, but use the gifts that God has given you. And he says in the last verse of chapter 12, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. So what Paul's saying here is, there's a time and a place for all these spiritual gifts that I've outlined, and they're important, but here's what really counts. This is what is really important. And then he goes into chapter 13. And this is the famous love chapter of the Bible. And you can hardly go to a wedding without hearing this 13th chapter of Corinthians quoted, either in the vows or in the preacher's message while he's, you know, marrying a couple. It's almost kind of become cliche. Matter of fact, I think there was a movie that you know, they were placing bets on whether or not this 13th chapter of Corinthians would be referenced in the wedding. But Paul goes through this exhortation on love. Love's patient, love is kind. If I do all of these wonderful, spiritual, mighty things, and yet I don't have love, it's worth nothing. Paul's explaining how important it is, how critical it is that we love. That's the more excellent way that Paul was talking about. And so then he goes through this and he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, but then I grew up and I put away childish things. What does that have to do with love? Love is all of the things that childishness isn't. That's what Paul was talking about, and that's why he put this verse where he did. So I want to look at a few of those key things this morning. So the first one, love is patient. Children are typically not patient. Neither am I, but mostly children. Children are typically not patient. When my family and I, we got to go on vacation a few months ago, and we went to the Oregon coast, and we were going to go through through Vail and then out through Bend and go that way and go stop and visit some family just outside of Eugene. And we hadn't even made it to Vail yet. We were just on the other side of Ontario, and the kids were already asking, how long have we been in the car? How many hours have we been driving? How far is it? How long are we going to have to be in the car? And at first, you know, the excitement of the road trip and the excitement of the vacation, and we were off on a family adventure, you know, we kind of answered the questions, and we were doing the math for them and explaining how many miles there are in an hour when you're driving at 60 miles an hour, trying to break it down, doing little math lessons with all of that, and it just kept going and kept going, and the questions kept coming as the miles ticked by, and before long, visions of hog-tied, duct-taped children strapped to the roof of my car began to dance through my head, and I began to wonder whether or not it would be considered child endangerment if I made my children trade places with our luggage in the trunk. I didn't do any of those things, so don't worry. But the kids, they were so anxious to get where they were going. They were so excited to go and be out of the car. They had no patience. And that is something that Paul is saying here. Love is patient. Children are not typically patient, but love is patient. We as God's people need to put away the childish things. We need to put away impatience. We need to put away impatience with one another, with our families. And we need to put away the impatience that we sometimes get in our spiritual lives. You know, when God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we think he should or in the timing that we think he should, we need to learn to just be patient and wait, because love is patient. I know in my own life when I've prayed and I've asked God for something and I don't seem to get an answer, I just keep pushing and I keep trying to figure it out on my own and to make something happen on my own. And that's a childish behavior. We need to put that type of behavior away and reflect the love of God, because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is kind. Last year we were at a birthday party for our kids and one of Quinn's friends, and we didn't know the parents well, and so we didn't want to just turn them loose. So we went to the bowling alley where this birthday party was at, and we got a lane next to the party so they could kind of do their thing, and we were still there to keep an eye on them. And as we were bowling, the lane next to us, there was all these kids, and there was this little girl who was wearing this super cute little orange button-down Western shirt, and she had the little matching boots, and she just looked adorable. But for whatever reason, this other kid was, you know, teasing her about wearing a boy shirt. And before long, there was about six kids all gathered round making fun of this poor little girl in her boy shirt. And the look on this little girl's face, she was just angelic. She had this cute blonde hair, and she reminded me of Sarah. And the look on her face, she was so heartbroken and so crushed by these kids that were mocking her and making fun of her. And I wanted to just, the dad in me wanted to just grab all that little butt thing on the back of their neck and just pull their little hair and tell them to knock it off. But they weren't mine, so I couldn't do that. But I made the kids stop. I told them how rude they were being. And then I told the little girl, "No, honey, you're not wearing a boy shirt, and you look very cute. You look very cute. I love your shirt, and it matches your boots." And that kind of brightened her day. But these kids were so mean. Children can be very, very mean to one another. But love is kind. Love is not mean. We need to reflect the love of God and be kind to one another and show kindness. Don't be mean. Just because you've got somebody that has an opposing view or somebody that you don't think is acting right, don't be mean. Reflect the love of Christ. Be patient. Be kind. Speak words of healing, not words of, you know, that will wound. Speak words that will build up, not words that will tear down. Speak words of life, not words of poison. Love is kind. Love is not mean. We need to put away the childish things and show the loving kindness that God has showed to us. Love is not rude. That word for rude in the Greek is literally translated as unseemly. Love is not unseemly. It's not discourteous. It's not inappropriate. It's not unattractive. How many of you know when you come across somebody, maybe the teller at the bank or the cashier at the gas station, and they're rude to you, it makes you want to not go back. If you go to a restaurant and the waiter or the waitress is rude to you, you don't feel welcome. You don't feel like you want to be there, and you kind of feel like you never want to go back. Love is not rude. When we as God's people are rude to other people, when we treat people rudely, we literally push them away from the gospel. When they associate us with God, and then we treat them rudely, we repulse them from the gospel. We may not necessarily realize that at the time, and you may be perfectly justified in your frustration or your anger, but when we treat people rude, it has a bigger effect than just how they view you. It's a reflection of how they are going to view God. And it would break my heart to know that the way that I have treated somebody caused them to be so disgusted with the church and so disgusted with God that they missed heaven out of frustration for my rudeness. And I, believe me, I do not always treat people right, and that thought scares me to death. We as God's people need to put away the childish things, put away the rudeness, and treat people with kindness and respect. I love my kids, but children aren't born with manners. By the way, I love my church family. I just got to say, I love y'all. You guys are very patient with my kids. I know that they're a handful sometimes. And other people's kids are a handful sometimes. And I love our family that we all just kind of, it takes a village kind of thing. And everybody treats all of our kids kind of like they were our own. And everybody works together to correct them when they're being rude. But it's very difficult for my children to refrain from burping in public when we're at dinner. No matter how many times I correct them on that, they just, you know, or how they yell. We can be at a, we were at a funeral, and they're talking loud. I'm like, guys, shh, stop. But they talk loud. They don't seem to understand that it's, you know, they don't know that it's rude, and so you got to keep correcting them. My kids have no issue darting in and out of people in the store and standing in front of somebody while they're trying to look at something. It just doesn't even pass through their minds that they're being rude. I've had multiple platefuls, this is gross, multiple platefuls of dinner thrown away prematurely because my children had a cold or a cough and they just yacked all over the table. And I'm like, I'm sitting there. There was one night I was starving to death, and I finally got done cooking dinner, got it on the table, and sat down, and Sarah sits next to me at the table, and she sneezed, and I literally watched sneeze land in my food, and I just got up, I walked to the trash can, and I shucked my food off my plate into the trash can, and I was so disgusted I couldn't even eat, and then I was frustrated because I was hungry and couldn't eat. So kids are rude. Just rude. They're filthy and rude. Don't sneeze on somebody's plate. It's rude. When it's easy for us, especially with social media, you know, when you're sitting on your couch and you're talking to a keyboard, it's easy to be rude to other people. There's a certain level of anonymity that you feel when you're not face-to-face with somebody else. And it's really easy to say and to type and to write things that you would never say to someone's face. And it's really commonplace now with all of the societal issues that we have going on. Don't be rude to people, even on social media. Even if you think you're being anonymous, don't speak rudely to other people. You'll push them away from the gospel if you do. You are reflecting Christ. Reflect love. Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own. Love is self-sacrificing. I was visiting last weekend with a grandma that was here, and she's got two grandbabies that are about 6 months old each, and these two little babies are cousins, and they were staying the night at grandma's house. And she was laughing and telling me that the one baby crawled over to the other baby that was sucking on a pacifier. yanked the pacifier out of the baby's mouth, stuck it in its own mouth, and left the other baby crying. 6 months old. Children can be very selfish. They have to be trained how to be giving, how to be sacrificial. They, when they're born, it's part of human nature to, and by human nature, I mean our sinful human nature. We're self-seeking. We put ourselves first. We seek after the things that will make us happy. It's human nature, even in infants, to want what we want when we want it, regardless of others. It's human nature to put oneself before everyone else. And kids have to learn how to balance their wants and needs with the wants of needs and of others. And on the mild side, you can see that in kids that interrupt conversations. What they have to say, they feel, is so important that it just can't wait for mom or dad to finish talking with someone else before they interrupt and or talk over, just to get out what they have to say because they feel it's so important. And on the other side, you see this, you know, on the more extreme end, you see this selfish behavior in kids by bullying, by taking toys, by stealing lunch money, you know, that sort of thing. But love is sacrificial. Love puts the needs and wants of other people first. Love stays up late making Halloween costumes so the kids can be princesses and Batman. Love unloads the dishwasher after a long day of work so the other spouse doesn't have to. Love goes to work early and stays at work late to provide for his or her family, or works two or even three jobs to make ends meet. Love spends money on Christmas gifts for the kids and makes a pact with the other spouse to not buy each other anything because money is tight. Love sows seed in the offering, or brings laundry soap or socks rather than going out to dinner so that someone else can have their needs met and so the kingdom of God can be advanced. Love is not selfish or self-absorbed. Love is generous and gives sacrificially. Love gives even when it's uncomfortable. Love gives even when it's painful. We need to put away childish selfishness and learn to act and to give in love. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not quick-tempered. Love doesn't have a short fuse. I'm sure everyone has seen the embarrassment on the mom's face when the kid's throwing a temper tantrum in the store because they don't get what they want. You know, with my wife owning a daycare, I've heard stories and I've even seen firsthand sometimes kids who throw temper tantrums when they don't get their way, or kids who act out and bite or punch other kids when they don't get their way. That's a childish behavior. And having a quick temper, a short fuse, that's something that I think a lot of people deal with, but adults seem for the most part to control it a little better than kids do. But we need to put away the childish behavior of having a short fuse and instead act in love and be patient and long-suffering. That word long-suffering is a difficult word because the meaning is built into it. Love suffers long. Love puts up with injustice, with wrongdoing, rather than acting out or getting revenge. Love is long-suffering. Love is not quick to react. Love is not quick to blow up at someone else. Love is not quick to fight. Love is long-suffering. We need to put away the childish things of having a short fuse, having a bad temper, and learn to suffer long and to act in love. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. A lot of times we call this being mischievous. My little nephew, Easton, I love that boy to death. He absolutely cracks me up. But that boy is the epitome of mischievous. That little guy will find anything that he is not supposed to play with and play with it and sneak it off. He cracks me up. He is the epitome of mischievous. And it's adorable when they're that little. I hope he outgrows it when he gets a little bigger, because DJ could be in for a difficult few years if he doesn't. But kids are they have a tendency to rejoice and to get pleasure in doing what is naughty. They enjoy doing what they're not supposed to do. If there is a puddle to jump in, Quinn will find it. And if he has new boots on, it's even more fun. The ink on the receipt hadn't even dried yet, and he was stomping in the puddle with his brand new boots, and I wanted to just choke him. If there's a puddle to be found in the middle of the desert, Quinn would find it and jump in it. And then he's got this new thing lately. It's, what's he say? What matters? Instead of who cares, it's what matters. So he'll get his boots filled with water from stomping in the puddle, and his feet, you can hear him squish when he walks. And his reaction will be, what matters? Like, dude, if there's a mess to be made or something of value to be destroyed, generally it will be one of the children that breaks the lamp or is golfing with apples in the backyard and throws an axe handle through a shed window, or tries to flush an entire roll of toilet paper down the toilet just to see if it goes down. And then when you ask them why, what do they say? Why did you do that? What do they say?
I don't know.
And they got that little head turning, a little shrug.
I don't know.
They take joy in being mischievous. They take joy in doing things that they know they're not supposed to do, sneaking candy, sneaking food into their bedrooms and then leaving it with the crumbs and the ants and the... They take joy in doing things that they know they're not supposed to do. They rejoice. A child rejoices in iniquity. When I was a kid, there was an old shack at the end of a dirt road that was near our house. And it had to be at least 100 years old. It was really cool. But the roof was gone. It had the old wooden plank walls. A couple of them had kind of fallen in on themselves. There was an old kitchen table there that was old. The thing had to be at least 100 years old. And we used to go there and shoot, take our BB guns there and hunt birds and, squirrels and that kind of thing and just go and play. And we referred to this place as the old abandoned shack. And we used to love to go and play there. And then one day a farm truck showed up. It was an old big hay truck with the dump bed and, it had to be, mid-50s, mid-60s. It was very, very old, and it was parked there. And it was left there. And it never moved for 6 months. So this truck was at the old abandoned property, and we assumed that it was an old abandoned truck. It wasn't. But one afternoon, my youngest brother and my cousin and I, we were all shooting BB guns, and we decided that it would be fun to shoot the truck windows. And no matter how many shots we took, our Red Riders couldn't penetrate this bulletproof farm truck glass. So we picked up rocks, big rocks, sticks, tree branches. And we had an immense amount of fun. There was joy and laughter as we smashed every piece of glass on that old abandoned truck. And it didn't matter because it didn't belong to anybody. It was abandoned. Until the guy showed up at our house. And we got in a lot of trouble. There was joy, there was rejoicing in our iniquity until we found out what we had really done. Thankfully, our mom and dad's homeowner's insurance covered it. But I didn't sit right for a long time after that. And needless to say, it was several years before we got our BB guns back. But we had so much fun in doing what was wrong. We were just destroying something for the sake of destroying it. And it didn't matter if we thought it was abandoned or belonged to anybody or not. We were having a blast wrecking something. Children, it's a childish behavior to rejoice in iniquity, to rejoice in doing what's wrong. But love rejoices in truth. Love delights in doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. Love is honest and truthful. Love doesn't rejoice in sneaking into the next theater to see a second movie after only paying for the one. No show of hands on that. Love doesn't lie to get out of a speeding ticket. Love doesn't slightly lift the bag of mushrooms on the scale at the self-checkout to get $8 worth of portobello mushrooms for 32 cents. No, that wasn't me who did that, and I won't tell you who did. But if I told you who it was, you would not be surprised. Love is honest. Love delights in doing the right thing even when it's inconvenient or even when it's painful. Love delights in doing what's right even when no one's looking. We need to put away the childish things and grow up, mature spiritually in the Lord. We need to put away rude behavior and treat other people with love. We need to put away impatience and learn to be long-suffering. We need to put away selfishness and learn to give sacrificially, learn to give even when it hurts. We need to put away the childish behavior of being mean to one another, speaking things that would injure or cause hurt, and learn to speak words that build up, words that encourage. We need to put away the childish behavior of delighting in sin, delighting in doing what's wrong, and learn to love doing what's right. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not puffed up. Love doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the examples of love that you've given us in Scripture, the pictures of love that you've painted for us through your word. We thank you for the instruction that you handed down to the Apostle Paul, to hand down to the church in Corinth, to hand down to us. Lord, we thank you for the picture of love that you've written in this 13th chapter of Corinthians. And God, I pray for each one here that you would enable us and allow us, God, to grow up, to put away the childish things, and to grow up and to mature in Christ. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. If you're here this morning and one of these points has touched your heart, God has spoken to you and through his word and said, you have an area that you need to improve on. You have something that you need to work on. You need to work on not being rude. You need to work on being patient. You need to work on being sacrificial and not putting yourself first. If God's spoken to you this morning, just lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you. Lord, your word has cut me to the core. Your word, God, has revealed to me some things that I need to work on, that I need to improve on. And Lord, I know that none of us can do it on our own, that it's going to take the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that it's going to take your working on us. Lord, I pray that you would do just that. God, I pray that you would fill each of us so full with the love of Christ that there would be no room for these childish behaviors that we've talked about this morning. Lord, for me personally, I confess that I'm not patient. I'm not always kind. I'm not always sacrificial. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me to change. And Lord, I pray that same prayer for each one that lifted their hands this morning. I pray, God, that you would enable them to change. Help them to change. God, as we've lifted these things up, these childish behaviors that we have, as we've lifted them up to you, God, and we've handed them over to you, I pray that you would help us to turn from them and to show your love. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you this morning. Let's sing that song one more time and being dismissed.